Hi, and welcome to NARC, Narcissistic Abuse Recovery Collaborators, home of NARC Troopers. Today, I have three young ladies that are all from high school age students who are kind of doing their own thing, and they're going to interview me today.
Hi, I'm Sally.
I'm Buffy.
And I'm Janice.
And welcome to HS, a podcast where we talk about people who may have a life-changing experience.
Yes, so you're going to ask about a life-changing experience that I have had?
Yes.
Where do I begin?
From the beginning.
Yes. Okay, well, I guess since we're on my my podcast, we're going to talk about my life-changing experience that I had. It's been 3 years and 4 months ago. When my husband of 16 years, that's 15 years of marriage and then a year of knowing him before I married him, he was a narcissist and with diagnosed narcissistic personality disorder. Probably has other things wrong with him too, but I don't know that. I can't diagnose what those other things might be. I have my suspicions, but he suddenly and abruptly disappeared, you know, one day, just sort of like, I'm gone, this is it, ta-ta. So it's life-changing in the sense that, you know, you just kind of collapse, everything falls apart.
Yeah.
You, I don't know, high school age people experience things like that with breakups and stuff.
Yeah.
Did that take a toll on your mental health?
Definitely it took a toll. And, you know, when you're a victim of abuse, being married or even just dating
to a narcissist,
or any like cluster B person that could be a psychopath or a antisocial personality disordered person, any of them, if you are with them when they go, it's like a crazy cult-like deprogramming, toxic, weird annihilation event.
They get into your heads, manipulation.
Absolutely.
Gaslighting.
Gaslighting, see, a lot of the words, you know, that describe the whole narcissistic thing have become very common. Y'all, like, everybody knows them, you know, like with the gaslighting. And so, yeah, it was like I had to completely reinvent myself. That's one reason I moved to California, is because I wanted a fresh start. And I was having such a hard time with it being where I was that I felt I had to go. You know, as far as life-changing experiences, maybe in high school, you're not like, you know, really at that place where you've had time to have a life-changing thing. But I would like to talk about toxic relationships and dating a little bit, so our interview can kind of go both ways. Do you know people or you yourself who've experienced something really kind of abusive or toxic in some way, you know, because I know a lot of people start dating when they're 16, 17, 18, and they get one that's not okay. Do you know about that?
I've had a friend, we're going to call her A for her name. A had a boyfriend, and her boyfriend would constantly, like, hit her and stuff, and yell at her, verbally abuse her, and she kind of let it soak in, because she was so used to that, she kind of let it pass by and didn't know how to get out of the relationship, because her boyfriend, A's boyfriend, would threaten her a lot, and, you know, she had felt like she had no control, and it resulted her in becoming a really sad person, and then she started getting angry and had, like, different phases of different emotions, and it was just almost like she changed as a person, and it was hard seeing her like that, and eventually she ended up getting help and reaching out. She started doing therapy, and her boyfriend ended up getting separated from her for her safety, and she's better now, but it was definitely looked like a hard time for her during the situation.
So how old was she?
She was 17.
17. So do you think that these kinds of experiences where there's somebody, like, you've heard about dating violence and stuff, where, you know, they lock you in the car or something and you can't get out of the car, or you go to a party and they drug you or get you really drunk and bad things happen and stuff like that. You know, you hear about it, but people here at school don't talk about it. Do y'all know in your families or with your friends, have anybody you know been a victim of some kind of dating violence?
No.
I think my older brother, he was in a relationship with one of his first, this was his first girlfriend he's ever had. And in that relationship, whenever she got mad or angry or anything, she would, in her terms, she would playfully hit him. But, like, when you see it, it's not playful at all. Like, she was really hitting him. But she would always tell him that, like, she was just joking or was playful.
To validate her
actions. Would it leave a mark, a bruise or anything, when she hitting him hard?
Yeah, sometimes there would be, like, marks or bruises or just really red, and it would stink for multiple days, depending
on where. Yeah, that is not a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, you hear so much that women always say girls, female people, gendered, that they're the ones that are almost always victimized.
Yeah.
But that has not been my experience. And now that we're gender fluid and we have all kinds of things happening, I don't think gender has anything to do with it. You know, there's abusive people. There's abusive things going on in many different relationships. You know, regardless of gender, it could be, you know, a lot of times not what you would think. So you think when you experience something like that, that coming out of it, does it scar you so that you can't, like, I mean, like, how do you learn what is normal? And if something abnormal happens to you, how do you think you get past that?
Yeah, I think with a lot of people who have relationships like that, they actually, usually that I've seen, can happen to the point they're so bad where the other person, usually they're stuck with that person, or if they leave that relationship, they feel like they can't have another relationship, they're not ready again, or like it scars them from wanting a relationship and it prevents them from having actual love. And another thing is, or they'll attract those partners because they're so used to that abuse that they think that's what is normal and that was what love's supposed to be, because they were really never shown or had experienced real love or affection from a partner that wasn't abusive towards them. And so I think it's really sad that it's very frequent the way that happens, where you're so subconsciously used to that abuse, you seek that in a partner because you think therefore it's normal, even though it's not, and it's pretty normalized amongst
It gets normalized, especially, you know, like if growing up, like in your home, nobody was really showing you, you know, how things were. And that's definitely what happened to me. Back to my nightmare, horrible thing. I definitely was scripted by my parents to be crazy and to have out of control relationships with no borders, no boundaries or anything like that. I mean, it was just like manipulative, exploitative, out of control kind of stuff. And so I had no idea what healthy even looked like.
Yeah.
And so I've been married twice, and both times I picked people who were mentally not okay, and it sure felt like home. I mean, it was so familiar. It had been normalized. I thought, I had no idea. I thought, this is what people, how it is with everybody, you know, and this is true love, and this is great stuff. And they were not okay. They were very unwell.
Yeah.
And I realized that makes me unwell. And who wants to be like that? You know, I want to be like a real person who's whole and happy and capable of having like something, you know. And even though I'm older, and the chances statistically are probably pretty slim that I'm just gonna.
Do you feel that it's hard to accept real affection from people, or it feels strange?
I absolutely don't trust anyone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that everybody's probably got some ulterior motive, or they're out to harm me or exploit
because
me.
Because of all that abuse.
And so there's just no way, even if the nicest person in the world just dropped out of the sky, I don't think that I could accept it or receive it.
Yeah.
I would think, like, what is your deal? Like, what's your story? What do you want? And what are you trying to do here?
Yeah.
And I'm very, even after 3.5 almost years, I'm very suspicious of people. And the whole trust thing is just, you know, and then there's another flip side to that. Y'all ever heard of, like, the bad boy syndrome, where girls like the bad guys and then the good ones? They don't want a good one because they're like boring or something.
I'm into those kind of, I don't really care about, you know, I don't know. I usually go for like quiet to themselves, or just at least like not, I'm not like, I don't like being around big groups of people or like
I would only go around people who look like I trust.
Yeah, oh, trustworthy, amazing. Friendly.
No matter how they look.
Yeah.
Looks do matter, but it's more about personality.
They're trustworthy and like loyal as a friend. And then if they can show that they can improve into something like romantic, then yes. But like, I wouldn't just like, oh, he's hot.
Well,
like,
you know.
Do I really want to date him or is he just hot?
Yeah. Well, one of the worst things you can do is just to believe everything people tell you and not check it out, you know, not investigate or whatever. You have to protect yourself. So do you think you know where to go for help? Is help available? Like if something did happen and you ended up feeling like you had been abused in some way, and you know we're not just talking physical. There's a lot of ways to abuse people. Emotional abuse is also called ambient abuse. That's one of the worst kinds. Almost, you know.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's like the kind where you can't see it. There's no bruise. There's no, you haven't been choked or slammed up against the wall. But the things that are done to you just rip you to shreds.
Oh, yeah, like mentally.
And it's just, it's like, you know, you get PTSD. Mm-hmm. And it is trauma. It's 100% trauma.
Yeah,
of course.
And that is very hard to get over. It scars you for a long time.
Yeah.
Trust me. So do you feel like you know where to go and who to turn to if you had something happen?
I feel like I would be able to turn to my dad. Him and I have a really good relationship where I feel that I can trust him and I can tell him anything.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, not every young person your age. How old are you?
I'm 14.
14. I've got a 14-year-old here. And how old are you?
We're all 14.
You're all 14.
I'm 15.
Oh, and you're 15. Yeah. Okay. So 14 and 15-year-olds are saying it's important to have parents that they can trust if they get into a situation with their dating person.
I don't really have parents I can trust because both my parents are against dating. So I can talk to my counselor or any of my teachers about it or my mentor.
Is there a program in the school that has a place where you can actually go and tell them what happened and get some kind of counseling or therapy or help or something, do you think?
Mentor class, since for our school we have it every day for first period. We can talk to them about any problems we might have or email them too.
Okay. Well, that's good.
I have a comment on the parent thing. So with adults also, I realized that a lot of children who grew up to have abusive relationships, they kind of, sometimes their parents have a bad or abusive relationship and they grew up seeing that. And you know, your biggest role model, number one, should be your parents because, I mean, they're your role models. I mean, they're your adults. They're who raise you and basically shape you and teach you things. And if you're taught that and you see that growing up, you basically think it's normal if your parents are having an abusive relationship. And then you think, oh, that my parents are doing that. They're my role model. I'm going to do that. And I'm going to look for that because that's what love is. And a lot of the time, if your parents have a broken or hurt relationship or something that's just not healthy and you portray that to a partner, or seek a partner that it is like that, I feel like it's also hard for the person to even go to others because they don't trust others, or like they won't get help because they think that what their parents say or do is what is right, because everybody
listens
to their parents or whoever is their guardian.
Yeah, and I think that you guys are at an age where you're coming into adulthood and you're not a child, you're not an adult, you're sort of at the crossroads. Mm-hmm. So it's super important that your parents can show you what healthy looks like, where they're, you know, they have boundaries. They teach you how to have boundaries and speak up for yourself and how to recognize unhealthy, dangerous people and to get away when you see a red flag and they look like they're not safe person to be around, or there's something abusive or toxic or makes you feel weird being around them, then get away and then go tell somebody that you trust, because you know, you really have to think about that whole self-preservation thing. It's super important.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And so I think what y'all are saying is that the role of parents and family is super important to kind of set you up for how you're going to have your relationships when you are older. And I think that's exactly right.
That's really important. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I am an elderly person, and I know I have spent my whole life working trying to learn how to be better, even though my parents weren't, you know?
Yeah.
And I want to do better than them and learn better
ways. And you could set that example for your child.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, my children are grown. It's a little late for them. And so they already got to witness some not the healthiest things with the, you know, what happened when they were growing up, but they have named that. And I think it's important to acknowledge it and admit it and say, yeah. Gosh, you know, I've told them, I'm so sorry. I wish I could have done better and provided you some healthy, stable something to model, to look at for your relationships, but y'all are doing such a great job of figuring it out.
Instead of accepting that and thinking it's normalized or normal, it's because they're acknowledging it and realizing that it's not healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that that's right. And so, you got to just be paying attention to that as you go. Mm-hmm. Hopefully your parents showed you what they needed to, and hopefully you know what healthy looks like and you can avoid the other. But if you didn't get that, then that just means you're going to have to kind of parent yourself and teach yourself what healthy looks like, because you don't want to just give in and surrender to the dark side.
Yeah.
Right. Definitely. Okay. Do y'all have any other questions for me, or are we going to wrap it up today?
I think we can wrap it up. Yeah.
Okay. So this has been a conversation with three young 14 and 15 year old students. And they have shown kind of like that the problems that we all face with relationships are universal. We're all in the same boat. We all want respect and love and a happy, healthy, long-lasting relationship. And
right.
I think if we just kind of keep pointed that direction and keep going, then we will get there. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.